Blog Talk Radio.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby-Doo, I see you. Pretending you got a quiver. You're not fooling me, cause I can't see the way you shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve, so Scooby-Dooby, ready for your act. Don't hold back, and Scooby-Doo, if you come through, you're gonna have yourself a Scooby snack. That's a fact. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, here are you. You're ready and you're willing. If we can count on you,
live from the haunted Kingdom of Gold and broadcasting from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.
Excuse me, I am recovering from a visit to the hospital. I went around all those bloody sick people, and I caught a bug. And my father and I are having a running disagreement about it. He's recovering from his gallbladder surgery and doing pretty well. It's kind of fun to watch him take those pills and then watch him zone out. It's kind of fun because we like to make fun of him. We make his mouth go in different directions and pin him up like a doll sometimes and move the arms around and see when he wakes up. He gets kind of ticked off about that. Anyway, we're running a little late tonight. Our normal Sunday night 8 o'clock schedule was interrupted. My guest, Marie D. Jones, author extraordinaire, was in a major panic. She had a friend of hers who had, a husband just passed away. So all our best with her, and we immediately just, rotated the schedule and made a few things happen, and I always have a show in my pocket. We can do EVP anytime, and so tonight we're going to do that. I've got the Siloron running right now, and it is a Tails night. So if you can think of negatives or negative one or, Tails, if you want to flip a coin, but think of Tails. That's a good way to put it. And we'll see if we can influence that Siloron. I've got quite a bit of data we're capturing with this thing. So it's just going on. We've got a few folks in. It's late night Saturday, Sunday, we got Blue Goose. We got up there in Tennessee. We've got Kathy. She's manning the console here. We got Dan, who's always in his customary position. We have, after checking the engines, of course, and making sure we got into orbit pretty good, we got Fly Girl MD-80. Fly Girl is with us, and Karen, a member of my team down in Arizona way, out in the Phoenix area, and she's back from work, and I'm glad she came in. After a long day's work, she comes and listens to us. So, and Castle just popped in, so hello to Castle, and to all the lurkers out there, good to see you guys. The call-in number is 646-478-0377, and we got Elizabeth Rose just popped in, hello, and she's out there in Arizona too. And let's see, what is going on? The number 646-478-0377 for anybody that wants to do an EVP session with us. I'm all set to go with that. And let's see, what other news of the world is going on with things here? Some strange news out there. I've been seeing hints that the Iranian government is running around making big, bold claims that the Israelis in the United States are ready to attack them. And actually, in my mind, that's not a bad thing. I don't know why they're so upset about it. We might take some of their toys away. But anyway, it is a pretty volatile situation there. And, you know, all my best to the American armed forces that are out there defending this country and doing what they do. You know, I may not disagree, you know, agree with all the policies that are currently in play, but if they are looking at disarming these guys, which it looks like they may be getting ready to do, it's going to be an interesting summer. So, you know, if especially with us in the spiritual business, if we can just throw some energy that way and try to, you know, figure out how to make it work out so these guys disarm instead of doing these crazy things like threatening to attack Israel and cause world war and all that kind of crud. You know, there's just so many people with bad attitudes out there. I don't know. You know, it's just so much easier to be a nice guy, you know, and get along and a nice gal. I don't understand that stuff. But anyway, that's what's going on. Let's see. Let's look. Karen says some of our service guys were just killed. Yeah, it's been crazy out there. I don't understand the Middle East and the mindset out there. I just don't get it. It's just mind-boggling how angry they are. Oh, and Gerber is here with us. Hi, Gerber. Yeah, and I friended you. I was wondering who that was, and then you told me later when I friended you. I was like, oh, I get it. Okay. So, yeah, it's let's see. And the Pope struck back at police in Belgium. Let's see. Kathy's. Yeah, it's been crazy out there. I don't understand all the, you know, I'm just becoming pretty convinced that people as individuals are the real power. And when you look at the agencies, you know, some of the larger organizations, it's real hard to tell who the good guys are and the bad guys. And you just never know. So it's a little bit weird. Let's see. What do we got going on? Elizabeth is talking about talking to Star. Oh, I think that's... I think I know who that's it. And let's see. Oh, Dom is here. Hi, Dom. Good to see you. Everybody's popping in. Folks are popping in from all over. I am going to, let's see. Let's do a little psychometry. And let me find something. I am going to pick something here. I'm going to pick from a tarot deck that I have. And so we already know it's a card, but you're going to have to guess the, you guys are going to have to guess what it is. Ooh. So this is going to be tough on you. So I'm picking a random card, and I'm just going to throw it out there. And it's an interesting thing there, this one. It's not the usual that I would get, but this works pretty good. And I'll see what if you guys can pick out what I'm holding and looking at. So let's start with the predominant color that's pretty much the most color there. There's a variety of them in this, but I'm going to go with the one that's got the largest amount of ink on the card. So we'll start with that and then see if you guys can guess what that might be. So let's go ahead and give a minute two or so to doing some psychometry. We haven't done so much of that. As a matter of fact, I'm getting set to do some locally around the area, potentially teaching some courses in this off and on. And not now, not during the height of all our ghost hunting and stuff, but when the winter season hits, I may, when things kind of wind down a bit in the fall, be going out there and doing some psychic development stuff, and not only for teaching other people, but helping me, too. Ah. So I think that's going to be kind of cool. Maybe we do it online. I don't know. But, yeah, if you guys can guess the predominant color here on this particular card that I'm holding, then let's go with that. So I hope you guys can hear me. I'm not seeing any indication you guys hear what I'm talking about. I hope it's not taking me as you. Hello? Hello? Are you out there? Okay. Let's see. Elizabeth is talking about getting all the news. Are you guys? You guys are out to stop talking there. And Giraffe is with us. Okay. It's just building up. Dom says, okay, we got a yellow. That is in the card. Very good, Kathy. That is in the card. Let's see. Dom is saying UFO. You just saw a UFO? Okay, that would be interesting to hear you talk about. That would be cool to have you on to talk about that. I always like a good UFO story. Let's see, we have Disgruntled Dan is jumping right in with Three of Swords. Not quite. color on the card should be pink. There is pink. Very good, Gerber Daisy. You guys are hitting the colors that are at the middle of the card. It's interesting how Kathy would pick yellow, and then off to the other side would be the pink. Yeah, it's a hot pink kind of color. That's exactly right. Now let's go with the other predominant colors that are in there. Let's go with the bigger color that's in there. So we had a yellow. We had a giraffe had a green. Yes, that is the predominant color. So we have green is the predominant, and we have this yellow, and then this hot kind of pink color. I'm going to think of a number now. I'm holding. I'm going to hold this thing up here and just really. Yeah, there is red. Very good. And you're actually calling it almost in a kind of a strange sequence. But yeah, it would be in a kind of weird order the way you're calling the colors out. No, it's not a hot pink fur thong. It's not a thong. Where's your mind at, Fly Girl? Anyway, I want you to think of the number. And it's actually one of the numbers in the suite of cards. Okay, we got a 2. We got a 6. Keep going, guys. I'll give you a few more here, and then we'll see who's closest here. And then we'll work on the other shape. That'll be the suit of the card. And that should get you guys into the into where this is. So... anybody got a guess? Oh, we got Kira and Steve. Hi, Kira. Yeah, we're going to have a UFO night. We got a 3. Nope. Already had that. Somebody guessed the 3 of, but we got a 7. I'm not going to tell you guys until you just keep going, and we'll just see. We got a 8. Kathy, what are you doing? Roman numerals? G-V-I-I-I. We got 7s. Keep going. Everybody's going after a 7, thinking that this is craps, but it's not. I'm liking this. I got you guys stumped. This is great. You did great on the colors, I'll have to admit, but you guys are going with 9s. Okay, keep going. This one we got you. It is a tarot deck. It's actually tarot, so we're in the minor cards. You're jumping ahead to jumping ahead because I'm going to go into the suit later, but we need the numbers. So you guys are dancing all around this thing. You've done everything but the right one. I'm going to give up on it and go to the suit here. So one more guess, and then we'll call it. And everybody's going, oh, my God, what do we got? You know, visualize, really think about what I'm sending you guys, because I'm really concentrating on this. So think real hard. You danced all around. I'm going to wait for one more to come in, and then I'll call it. And then we'll move into this. There's no 11. Yep, Gerber got it, and it's a 4. Okay, so we got the 4 of what? This would be... in the tarot deck, there, I believe, are 52 cards. And so we're going to go to this the suit. So it's pretty easy to pick, and I'm not going to tell you which it is. So you have, swords. You have, let me look here, what we got. There's swords, there's wands, there's cups, and there's pentacles. So those are one of the 4. So if you guys can pick one of the 4 out of that and take your best guess, and I'm handling the wrong set of cards here. Let me hold this one back up. So guess the suit, wands, swords, cups, pentacle. Take your pick. Take your pick. Well, you guys are good, but I've got you stumped here, huh? Nobody's going to be a taker on this. Okay, we got a swords. Okay, keep going. Cups. Oh, Gerber, you've never seen tarot cards. They're actually a wonderful tool. I'll talk a little bit about them after we get done with this. And it's going to be whoever gets it first here. So, you know, so far we're down to two left. Pinnacle. Yep, that's it. Giraffe is kind of hitting it. So four pinnacles. And what this is a picture of is of a stately manor with children playing in a green field. And there's a fence with pinnacles on it, and then there's all these flowers around the mansion, and then a blue sky with a tree. It's actually a rather idyllic scene. And I don't have my guide, which I usually use, so I'll have to find that to translate what that exact meaning is. But I just going on picking this tonight, this is all about the home and the idyllic life in summer. And that seems to be what happened today here at this house. We were doing cleaning. It was cleaning day at the Broken Tree Ranch, and we did quite a bit of that, along with my dad getting teased mercilessly by us. It's the best way to get him healed up. But anyway, tarot cards, just so you guys know, those of you who've never used them, tarot cards are basically a old form of alchemy. Recording, and they're full of symbols and hidden meanings. And when you look at these cards, you find more and more in them that the artist has put into each card. In the old days, when there was the Inquisitions and all that kind of thing, alchemy was just frowned on terribly by the church. And so what happened is, just by virtue of the mysticism and the hidden meanings put into these cards, these alchemists were recording a lot of their formulas, their ideas about how to do things. And that was one of the origins of Tarot, not all of it, but it had a very strong influence on it. And since then, you know, it's gone through all these different, you know, changes over hundreds and hundreds of years, to the point there was, I believe, the Rider-Waite deck and the Golden Dawn were big on that. And those of you who know more about this than I do, you'll probably be correcting me, but I'm just giving the general gist of it. And that particular deck was extremely influential in the late 19th century for bringing this back out into the public eye a little more. And since then, in the modern day, since in the last 120 years or so, there has just been a wide variety of decks. I have collected a number of them. I just love the artwork on them because they all have different meanings. The artists that interpret, what should be on there, put their own little spin on things. So there's no one true quote source deck that is accurate. It is really a truly individual thing. And when you work with Tarot, it's an interesting process. I've had the deck I've had here for right about 20 years. This deck, and it's pretty well worn, but it's seen a lot of action and. I like it. I do generally a three-card spread when I do the work I do with it. And it just kind of does a past, present, future. But there's also the 10-card spreads, a whole range of these things. And so if you really are interested in it, just go out on the web and look around. Let's go ahead and talk about the UFO case. And I think that is Dom coming in here. A UFO. This is the GRI UFO Reporting Center. John speaking.
This is an alien. No, this is Dom. Probably an alien.
Hello.
Beep, 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 beep.
Seen our
hey, John.
Out of gas.
Do you remember the other night when we talked and I told you about a young friend of mine and that we were sitting... Several years ago, we were sitting out in front watching this bright object in the sky that was too bright to be a star, and I said it moved, and he said, no, it didn't. And then about 15 minutes later, it was gone.
That's,
and
I
he
remember
jumped
that.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He jumped up and said, holy shit. And then later on, he said, no, that never happened. You know, we were talking about why do people do that? They see something, at least say what you saw. And then I told you that Sandra, my friend Sandra, saw the same thing. Oh, I guess this was within this last week. She saw the same thing. And she says, Dom, it just was gone. You know, it just was gone. Well, tonight, me and housemate on the other side and her boyfriend were out there watching, and he totally, if anything, if there were such things, he'd be very afraid of them. She's open and receptive to the possibilities, but he doesn't want the world to be taken over. And he says, well, that's a plane coming at you. And I've watched planes, you know, for a long time, up on, when I was up on the hill, and the most it would take would be about 10 minutes for headlights to come to you. This thing watched for 25 minutes, and it dropped, perspective-wise, about 5 inches down. And even the boyfriend, when he was watching it, he says, it doesn't make sense. You know, it can't be Venus. It looks like it's 3 stars wide, very, very bright, and to drop that fast, it just... And then we saw this other small, like, plane thing approach this. Then the last time I saw it, it was about five inches. Do you know what I mean by 5 inches from my perspective, if you held up your fingers to the right? And it's very, very, very bright. So,
you know,
what
color was the light that was being given off?
White. I mean, you would think it was a super bright, wide star, super bright. And
now,
It
dropped. It dropped. See, that's the thing that really makes it stand out. Is a helicopter or any or a normal jet or even prop powered airplane is not going to drop. As you say, the 5 inches, if you extrapolate that out, let's say it's out, 10 miles, that's a pretty significant drop, you know, in actual feet. I mean, an aerodynamic craft is not just going to do that unless it's in, and you would see it, you know, it drops straight down and it was a sudden, it just went kind of thing.
Within 25 minutes, it dropped that distance, and we had electric wires to gauge. And, you know, I was telling Heather, the housemaid here, that, look, it's, you know, it's an inch and a half above those wires. There couldn't be a mountain that high, you know, that there was something on it with a huge bright light. There just isn't a mountain that high. And she was seeing it looked like three lights as opposed to, it was so bright in the center. And my vision isn't that great, but it did look like three to me, blurry. And I said, oh, you see three too. And she says, yeah, I see like three lights. And I says, well, you know, if it can't be a plane. It would have been here within 25 minutes.
Yeah. Did it take off in a particular direction?
No, it went down, and then it went when it got just above the horizon, it went to the right, about the same distance, about 5 inches. Now, the ones we saw before, like me and that young man, I saw it move, you know, and then it just disappeared, and that's when he jumped up. And then the one Sandra saw about a week ago, she says it was gone. It was really, really bright. And then it was gone. So be it. So it was kind of interesting that we just brought this up the other night when I was talking to you, and out there again tonight was I had been out to get some herbs to make some tea, and I said, wow. You know, so I just stood out there and watched it and went and got the gal that lives on the other side of the house and her boyfriend, and we watched it for another 15 minutes or so.
Did you think to get a recorder at all, you know, a camcorder or something to take a look at it?
My camera would just, if it showed anything, it would be just a small dot. You know, we don't have binoculars or... And there was no sound. It would be too far away. The UFO I saw in 55, there was no sound on that one. It was, I'd say, 200 feet above us. And that was really interesting one. But I could feel something in my body. I could feel like a quivering. I was real young inside my body. But we we couldn't hear anything, and you could see lights. It was bell-shaped, and you could see lights going around the edge. I don't know if I had mentioned this one to you, but my mom had called. Yeah, she called the Air Force, and they said, weather balloons. She goes, you got damn fast weather balloons, because it took off, and it went, I would guesstimate, about 10 miles away, and then came back to the same spot between 3 and 5 seconds. And,
Yeah, I remember you telling me about this. Yeah, and it was just like, weather balloons don't do that. That's not... Yeah, that's not the norm. I mean, it's a real similar sighting to what my mother experienced out in Lincoln, California. There was used to be a Titan I ICBM base there, and it was among the first in the country. And the Titan I's were notoriously unreliable, and that base only lasted about 7 years, and they shut it down, and it's still in existence. It's in a heavily fenced off area because of all the pollutants and things that are in there, the asbestos and all that kind of thing. So you have to, if you go in, it's an environmental thing to go inside. But all during the time that was active, my mother lived on a ranch right across from there. We had a cattle ranching operation, so that was in full swing back then. And this thing would appear, this cigar shaped craft would come in, and it had the same property. They everybody who saw it, including my mother, was actually one of the neighbors was Kevin Bacon, the actor, was a child, and my mother knew Kevin Bacon as a kid, and he had actually witnessed this. Everybody saw this thing, and it actually would come in on the tree line, and it was just out of you couldn't, if somebody on the base were to fire on it, they would be firing on right on the people in these ranches. So this thing was smart. It followed that line, tree line, about a mile out. And everybody who was around it felt the vibration on their in their bodies. And then the police, if you call the police, same exact reaction. It was strongly discouraged that you would report anything. And that went on generally in all seasons except the dead of winter. Yeah, but it would come through, and it would be in there at least 2, 3, 4 times a month. And I was actually in a physical proximity to this. I was actually an infant. We had just gotten in from Texas, where I was born. And, my mother actually was so concerned, she put me deep inside the house during one of these sightings because she was worried about radiation. And, that it was something. I mean, these things do exist, and they do have a particular fascination with our military bases. Now, my question to you would be, you're in Prescott, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would lay dollars to donuts there would be a military base in close proximity to where you're at.
I don't know. I know they store a lot of military stuff up here, but I don't know of any base.
Yeah, well, there's bound to be
storage of military stuff.
Sure, and that would be quite likely. It's pretty much a standard type sighting what you're having. Now, when you talked about the inches, when you're doing that kind of work, what I would do is sit down and draw. Get to go out and draw out what your sighting looked like, and draw it on a piece of paper, and then give the rough angles above the horizon. Count it with you're talking inches, but take a hand width, and then count up how high it was in proximity to some identifiable objects on the horizon. And now you're getting into being able to submit a credible report to people out there, especially with regard to the National UFO Reporting Center, which is, they do really good work. And it would be a good idea if you did call it in and just had it out there. It would definitely get noticed to be part of the record. Because if you're probably not the only one to see it. That would be my
call it into who?
The National UFO Reporting Center. I think it's a guy named Davenport, if I remember right. Let me actually pull that up real quick.
Is that a government agency?
It's actually not an agency. It's actually run as a volunteer operation out of a defunct missile silo now, speaking of missile silos. And it's www.nuforc.org. So I'm going to pop it in the chat room here. And these guys are pretty good. I think it's Richard Davenport is the name. And there it is. And he runs this operation on a shoestring. But he's the only one since the military and intelligence agencies don't just refuse to acknowledge these things. These things are covered by MUFON and all these other groups. And it's not my normal area, but I pay attention to UFO sightings just out of just interest. Yeah, Peter Davenport, that's the guy, director, National UFO Reporting Center. And it looks like there's been some activity in Indianapolis and also Afghanistan forward base operations on June 11th. Bizarre-looking V-shaped craft with five lights flew over a military airfield. So there's just a lot going on all the time. UFO, there's an average of 200 UFO reports worldwide per month. Probably
wow.
Some more since you have a real flap going on. But he has just a huge database, and you may be able to find out, just pay attention, do your report, call it in, and then describe it. Draw it up on a piece of paper and scan it, and then just email it to the guy if he wants the a roughed out report of what you've got, and show it, tell him what your location is and that kind of thing. It's a big deal, what you just saw tonight. I mean, that's a big thing.
Granddaughter sees more than I see. Do you know James Gilliland?
That name's familiar.
He's up in Washington. He has a ranch there, and people go and visit all the time. He has lots of videos of UFOs and lots of military helicopters fly around his property, but he's done this for years. Also, there's a lot of people that are, and maybe you've heard this, that saying we're going to have huge amounts of sightings, like Drumvello Melchizedek. He says we'll be seeing about 250,000 UFOs. The first ones to come are from Sirius. I think that's kind of exciting, to finally get the visitors.
You know, it's funny. I've always believed that this planet was interfered with in our evolution as human beings, was heavily influenced by these visitors. And the reason that you can believe that is because you take a look at the old ancient art that Cro-Magnon man and even Neanderthal. Neanderthal art, which is, I think, in the middle section of France, if I remember right, is showing these objects, and you see it all through even older Indian paintings, North American Indian paintings, all through the United States. You see these objects, so they obviously are around. Now, there's always been a prophesized return of these people, and even down in South America. In the Cusco Plains and things like that, where Cusco has what look to be runways, there's always this talk amongst the people about the return of these people and that they are really going to exercise their dominance over things. And, the world governments here won't even be able to do much to them about it. They're going to be able to command the skies and do whatever they want. So I believe what you're saying. I totally believe what you're saying about that. And if it is serious, boy, that's not that far away. That's only four light years. And for them to get here, just the fact that they could get here blows away any doubts about, space travel being between the stars being impossible. Once it's shown that this is, that there are real aliens out there and they got here, it changes the whole game completely. And, then the real questions are what happens to the structures of society, especially the religious and, all the different assumptions we've made about ourselves as people. I think that's going to change everything.
Yeah. Well, when I get off the phone, I'll put Drumvella's YouTube in the chat room. It's really worth listening to. I think it's very relaxing and reassuring about the transition that we're going through. You know, and he's been giving lectures, you know, probably well over 20 years on this, and he talks about the ancients. But you know, judge for yourself.
Yeah.
But I'll pop it into the chat room so people can listen to where he talks about the 250,000, and the nature of reality is basically we're creating it. We're creating our own reality. I mean, he's more scientific than I am and uses a more elegant language, but it's worth listening to.
Well, yeah, pop it in there and let's take a look. You know, that's the thing is, you know, with paranormal and UFO and all the different spiritual aspects to all of this, you know, I don't know that an alien race would fly, you know, all those, you know, trillions of miles to get here and pick a fight. They were probably going to be pretty respectable about things. You know, the likelihood would be they would be probably pretty peace-loving. I'm not, you know, I think you would have to pack some heat if you did have one of those, just in case you run into some really badass natives, you know, who, you know, like to fire on you, kind of like us. We have that little problem. So I look at what they're going to do, though, if they get here. You know, the first thing, so, you know, if you did see something like that, 250,000 ships coming in after a long flight like that, there's a lot of resupply and refueling. They're going to probably, they seem to be powered by water, so they're going to be all over the ocean and coastal communities, and then they're going to be landing, or, you know, and they'll have scoped this out. They'll know where our military and command centers are, and they very well might do something that's rather dramatic. So, you know, people will just have to remain calm and examine.
Hopefully benevolent. Maybe they're coming to help us. Maybe they realize that we want to evolve and we want to become a loving, free society, not a workforce, you know, and maybe they'll come to help. That would be awesome if we could communicate to
them. I agree.
But I think if they're, you know, this universe has been around a long time, and if they have those technical capabilities, they could have blown us away a long time ago.
Well, I just think the we have hit as a race this that we've got this collective mindset, this dream that we're going to be able to unite everybody under one government, which is absolutely ridiculous, and it creates it's creating a whole lot of problems. You can see the net that they're trying to draw around the whole planet with this, you know, with the United Nations. And I have a very low opinion of the United Nations. I don't see it as an organization of good. I see it as an organization of control. And, you know, it's a combination of this, our communications technology is uniting and giving these people the ability to do the things they're doing. And we're at a point, a critical juncture, where we have to decide, you know, do we want to submit and become a bunch of serfs, or do we look at it and, you know, if we did get some help, let's say an outside agency came in and freed us from those shackles, then the question is, what do you do next? You know, because I'm a big believer, I'm a libertarian in a lot of ways, because I believe that you really don't need the government to be interfering in your personal business. They need to go mind their own business, you know, do the defense thing. That's their thing. Have a great time, you know. You know, go fight each other in Congress. Have a nice time, but just stay out of my life. And that's my opinion of them. You know, it's just, I mean, fight each other, but just leave us the hell alone. I'll pay you to be corrupt. You can have your nice lives. But, you know, right now, the way they're looking, it's there's even these discussions about depopulating the planet, you know, that there's too many of us and that there are these groups that believe that it should be only 500 million people. So you have to.
That sounds like George Green. He's been saying that for years that the planet was designed for 500 million, and now there's too many.
Well, I think that at this point, it's it remains to be seen. 280 some odd thousand. There's been ships coming in. That would be pretty amazing to see. I do think that there was some sort of artificial craft detected on radar that NASA had been talking about, which they say is a rocket booster, but it did seem to move under its own power in a way that was not expected. And it had come from a very strange orbit, which is nobody seems to know where the hell it came from. So we're detecting some anomalies out there, and I think that little bits and drabs of the news is getting out that don't quite get through the filters, or seem to escape the filters. But there's something going on, and pay attention to this stuff that's going on. Everybody out there, watch what's really happening. Look around the world and look really deeply at into the night sky when you get a chance to stop and look. And you may get an experience like, what Dom had here. So.
Yeah, there are things going on. Yeah, I do believe, and I'm real positive and looking forward to change.
Well, I would get that report in. If it was me that had that experience, I'd get that report in tonight, Dom. I would do that. I mean, that's just, I'd get it written up and then, type it into, they got an online reporting system there. And I think you could call it in too. But it would really, I think you would probably find that there are going to be more than one person saw this out in your area, especially. And Prescott, being near Sedona and the strange energies there,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff like that goes on there. It's a pretty weird place.
Yeah, okay, I'll pop it off to him. I wouldn't have thought to do that. That up close one in 55, that was spectacular. I mean, you could give details. And this one, just like three bright lights that just move these inches. But I can tell them that.
Sure. Even tell them about your 1955 case. They still take those. They'll take those old reports. It's you're filling in details. So don't just think that you should do one. Do all the ones you've seen. What the hell? As long as you got a date and time and a place, and they have a fair amount of memory, you'd be good to go.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Now what are we going to do?
Well, let's see. I've got all these callers calling in. It's a nice night tonight for a Sunday. And remember, it's all tails night on the Siluron. So. Think tails, everybody. Well, you want to just stay on and listen, or?
Well, I'll listen. I'll listen on the computer. But thanks, John. It's fun.
Okay, Doc.
And I'll let you take some calls. Take care.
Take care, dear. Bye-bye. All right. Let's see. We got a 512 with their hand up, and I do see the note from Kathy. I'm reading this right now. And I've got the in the order of, so I'll take in the order of. I'll take the 512 just to be fair. 512, you're on here. Hello.
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 I was just calling. Yeah, I was calling. I was just listening to y'all conversation. I just want to throw a question out there. I heard you saying about looking around and seeing what's going on out there. As far as that concerned, I want to ask somebody else, man, but it's a question that's been in my head for the UFOs. Like I told somebody, they've been showing themselves a lot, like for some reason in South America more. And I know they show themselves everywhere, but for some reason, I don't know why they get more reports there, in this region. I'm in Texas, so.
Yeah.
I don't know why, they get a lot of sightings there. I was wondering, do you have any reason why they probably showing themselves? Just could think of any reason why they showing themselves more there in that region than anywhere.
In the Texas area?
No, in Mexico.
In Mexico, part of it is the culture there is much more accepting of it than we are, and there is also a very strong. I've watched it for a long time, and there's been a lot of the old Mayan temples seem to have a connection to what is going on with these UFOs. And if you look, the Mayan and Incan empires stretched over, two continents, literally from South America all the way into deep into North America at one time. But their descendants are living today in Mexico, and all through there are these these strange sightings that go on. Now, there are areas in Mexico that are practically devoid of people. And there are canyons that these things can go popping in and out of with a relative ease that would not be challenged by our own forces. And the Mexican Air Force is a decent Air Force, but there's just not a lot. They don't have those kind of resources like what we do. So that's part of the explanation I'd have. The other would just be the mystical connections that go back in time. There has been some sort of contact in the past with those people, and these things seem to remember that. And I honestly believe that all around the planet there are areas that are bases for these things, and it probably is probably even a base there. That would be my explanation.
Oh yeah, I believe that too. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that it was more that they come there. Well, I just recently thought of that. That it probably had to deal with the Mayan, the Aztecs, or whatever, to why they was mainly probably showing themselves to them, the more they do America. Because, see, I done seen two before in my lifetime. I seen one recent, but I seen it for like 2 seconds. It probably was a glitch to me seeing past his cloak. But, I seen it, parallel to us riding on the freeway. I'm in Houston, Texas, so I still know, but they hide themselves around our society, but from what I noticed, they don't too much do it with them. And my question is why I asked that question. Do you think it's probably the Mayans connections or like you said, or maybe that they don't have the resources to chase them off? Are they more accessible than we are?
The technology involved in UFOs is obviously way beyond anything we have. But one thing I do know is the cloaking technology, probably, just this is a guess on my part, the cloaking technology that is used when they make incursions into this country is probably taking a lot of their power to do that. It takes a lot to cloak a ship and do the things that they do. In Mexico, they don't have near the problem. If you were let's say you're an alien commander, for whatever, however you want to call it that, but you're an alien base commander and you're sending ships in and out of the United States, you're going to want them to cloak. But as they come into Mexico, you're really not so much caring because the natives kind of know you're around. You're not going to worry about too much about hiding yourself, And it's I think that's part of it. I think there's a real practicality and an actual operations aspect to this that people maybe don't think about when they think about this. But Mexico, I can't remember the name of the journalist down there, but he's got he's a real distinctive gentleman, and I don't remember his name right off, but he's been at this since the late 80s and has just been a driving force with that. So definitely go out on YouTube and check out some of that stuff, and then pay attention to what you see out there. But the Southwest, where I come from, a lot of that activity out there, classic stories. But all the way down, even down to Peru, there are places where the people routinely say, "Oh yeah, we deal with aliens," and "Oh yeah, they're routinely here. We actually interact and talk with them," and they act like it's an everyday thing. And that's a little different.
If you think about it, it makes sense. They wouldn't want to be just popping up. Especially I'm in Texas, they just don't want to be popping up like they popping up there, because I guarantee they're going to get a lot. They're going to get shot, and, it ain't going to be just film. They're going to just really, in majority of the places, if they was to show up like they do in Mexico, I believe people probably, some ignorant people, might shoot at them. So,
yeah,
it's
a case of, we have an active policy, and I do believe that the Russians were even more egregious at this than us, and along with even going back to World War II, the Nazis So, you know, you don't want to go too much into the places where, you know, you're going to get shot at, but you still want to recon. If you're doing military operations, let's say you're one of these ships, you're going to do recon. You're going to go in and look at what the these hostiles are doing, and you're going to see what they're doing. You're going to evaluate their technology, and you're going to go back to your safe little base somewhere where there's not as many weapons pointed at you, and then, you know, you're going to file your reports. And that makes absolute sense from a pure organizational perspective. That's how I would run it, you know, and then they make their decisions about what they're going to do, you know. So, yeah. Well, hey, thank you for calling in.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. Well, keep on listening in, and thank you for being part of the show tonight.
Okay.
Okay. God bless. Okay, and we got 281, and I think we're going to do a little EVP tonight here. So, and I may extend the show because if this runs long. Hello, 281.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
It's going good. It's been an alien kind of night here. We unexpected UFO stuff. It's like that. It just spices things up. So.
Yeah, but, don't get me started. I mean, I could do an all-night, you know, show with you on that. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's one of the fields I'm interested in. You know, I can sit here and talk to you all night about UFOs and stuff. but my girlfriend had listened to your show several times. This is my first night, by the way. Listening and, you know, told me about the EVP sessions and wondering if you could, pardon the pun, alienate from the alien part and go if we might be able to do a little something with my parents or regarding them.
Okay, now you've probably heard how we do the work, and I'll just go through a short synopsis. We use FM a specific frequency on the FM radio band that seems to work well with our friends on the other side. And I work with a group called Big Circle, and there are a number of individuals there, including a really lovely lady named Debbie Caruso, who passed in January, who we work with quite a bit. And I know it's, and I'm telling Big Circle right now, I know it's not a normal night, but I had to do it. I hope you guys show up. But what we do is we get the signal going. You'll hear a little bit of static. I do a five count. I run a quick five count. Then I go ahead and start.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you go. You ask your question. And try not to run on too much. Just, you know, make sure you got your questions pretty well figured out. Just
right.
Belt them out. Then get real quiet. Then I go, and I trust my instincts. I'll turn the mic down, and then I'm sitting there trusting what I'm picking up from them. And then I'll say next. And when I say next, you go on right to the next question. Now, my question to you is, do you want to do two questions or three?
I suppose three, because it'll be to both mother and father.
Okay.
If that's possible.
Oh, yeah, totally possible. You know, and we can, matter of fact, what I'm going to do is just go ahead and extend just before we get started so I remember that. And let's just go ahead and fix that one before we get going. Now, so you, let me think about what to ask next with regard to this. So you've got your questions all set to go?
Basically, I mean, I'm going to wing it, you know, do the best I can.
Okay.
And I'm going to make it short and sweet to the point, best I can.
Okay, what we'll do is, now my darn episode went crazy there.
Not to distract or interrupt you, I'll have to give you a call sometime and give you like some kind of a family history, and then maybe do an EVP in the future, and then it would be real easy then, you know.
Yeah, private session. I do those on occasion, so yeah.
Okay,
we could,
great.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and fire up here.
Excuse me.
Going. And we use a shielded FM setup here in the studio. So I've got that ready to go. I'm going to do a five count and just do a quick test to make sure everything's working good. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, check. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, check. Okay, we're good to go. All right, I'm going to do a five count, and then I'll say go, and you go to work. Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, first to my mother. She's been gone 20 years. Miss her like crazy, of course. Had a daughter in 96. I'm wondering if she's had the chance to have maybe some type of an encounter with my daughter, and is she watching over, and is she basically happy? Both of them.
Okay, next.
Okay, next, to the father, long history there of not getting along together. I moved out early and everything. Later on in life, after my mother passed, we got to know each other a little bit better, and I had a little more respect for him. He passed away in 06. But I noticed myself physically and mentally having some of the same problems he had. Is there a disease or something I may have inherited from him that I may check with a doctor and remedy quite easily instead of suffer horribly like he did? And that's it.
Okay, next.
I'm done. I'm done. We'll call it quits for tonight.
Okay. On that. All right. Do is let me turn off the FM source. Okay. And let me see. Now I'm going to have to do a little work here. That's actually not a bad. You know, that's the first time I've had somebody actually looking for hereditary information on a particular setup like that. That's actually it's a great question. You know,
yeah,
I'm really concerned.
Yeah, I said three questions, but I went ahead and made it easy on you with two. So
I'll
hope that helped.
Right. Yeah, and let's see. We had a short burst.
Excuse me.
You popped in mid-sequence at 36 to 37 seconds, and you added that little that little add-on. So I'm just marking it so I don't grab that.
I hope they're both happy. Yeah. I mean, when I said I hope she's happy, I meant mother and daughter. Daughter's alive.
Okay. Let's see now. I'm going ahead and amplifying your speech so that I just know where things are at. And it's actually going to go pretty quick with two. So what I'm going to do is take it. The second one is about, too bad. Let me go ahead and run compression on that and then see what we got. Yeah, that's a nice clean signal there. Okay, then I'm going to take yours at the end and clip that and then fix this here. These days I'm going to have video in this place and I've got enough bandwidth. Now, you actually kind of broke it. The way it worked out is it broke up into three distinct sections because you had that one interrupt you did. So I'm going to make it work. And so I'm just getting it all set up. And it looks like you got a little something dramatic there in the first question. That's interesting. And I'm going to start noise removal. Now, you know, how long have they been passed? I mean, have they been gone a fair amount of time?
Mother passed away January 1990. Father passed away January 2006.
Yeah.
And he was a, well, I'll let, see if you can figure that out.
Yeah, he just, thing I just struck at is how even these recordings are. I'm just wondering, did they even talk? There's always a first, and sometimes I'm just not sure if I got anything, but what I'm going to do is just keep dinking here with this. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick removal. I'm going to clean that up a bit and amplify. That first one has got a real dramatic burst, which then it just kind of evens out, and then that's, I think that's, I can make it work, because whatever they had to say in there, it was really direct to you.
Great. Yeah. My mother was always the excited type. She was, you know, she really got excited.
Okay. It looks to me like what I'm going to do is I'm going to break that up even a little more. I'm just going to go ahead and go around that big bruiser and get this all knocked out and take it from now. And it's interesting that you would have all kinds of UFO stories.
Oh, I'm going to call back in when you got the UFO stuff, believe me.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we should do a UFO, I should do just a special UFO show, because, yeah, I come from, you know, having been in the business for propulsion and all that, it's been an interesting one. And I have a lot of thoughts about it, just having studied it. I've seen a few things I couldn't quite identify, but I think it was just some of our stuff that, you know, you saw and weren't sure that you were looking at. It could be experimental craft.
Right.
But you know, I would love to have had the experience that Dom had with, you know, seeing the bell-shaped craft and all that, to see him have the class.
Yeah.
Okay, now
well, you
this...
do a show, and I'm calling in, I guarantee you. My name's Steve.
Okay, Steve.
You do a UFO Steve. Show, and me and you are going to talk.
Okay, you got a deal.
Okay, great.
Let's see. Okay, there is some speech here, and it did come out pretty well. So the first one is set. I'm sorry it takes this long to do this, but it does.
That's fine.
Come out.
That's fine.
So what I'm going to do is do a little clipping, get this out of the way. Then I'm going to run some amplification and start cleaning this up. And it seems like that your mother and father, they just seem to be soft-spoken but direct people. That would be the kind of the feeling I got, is they're really quiet, kind of, in the way they're talking here. So I don't know. Sometimes it just comes right out, and the way they did it here, they were not, it was just one big burst, and then everything else just went kind of silent, and I'm going, what's going on here? So let me see what I can pull out of it. Anyway, and it does look like I got some left channels, so it looks like big circles definitely here. Thank you, Debbie. Okay, it's starting to pan out here.
Oh, no, I just thought of that third question. I was so excited being on the air, and I just thought of that third question I wanted to ask.
I'll tell you what. What we'll do is we'll get you on for Thursday. We'll give you a first crack, and that way you can have a shot at it.
Oh, great.
Yeah, just we'll get you on Thursday night at 9:30, and we'll just do the same thing, and just I'll make sure you get on first.
All right. That sounds good. Thanks.
She did it again on this second burst here. This and I keep saying she because I think she's the one doing it, but. It is definitely a big burst. Usually when they'll start to answer your question, and this is left channel all the way, or right channel, excuse me, so it's biased. And they are talking. They're very low-key in the way they're approaching this, though, and so I'm expecting it's going to be interesting to try to pull some of these voices out. I'm really working this. So there'll be some distortion based on the amount of work I'm doing on this.
Okay.
Yeah, but I am pretty good at this. I will be able to hear it. I will figure it out, man. I might bore you to death with it, but
No. You're not gonna bore me. I'll tell you that much. I'm very much interested in what they might have to say.
They, you know, it's funny. They always have some, and it's funny. You people come in sometimes with a checklist of things they want to talk about.
Yeah.
And the other side really has their own agenda. And I'm just reading a great book by a psychic named John Holland. Really neat guy. And it says the same thing. And this is something I've just noticed in the EVP work that we do. They will, you know, you can ask a question, and sometimes they'll get right in and answer what you're talking about. A lot of the time they won't. They'll just come in and they'll tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And oh boy,
yeah,
that can really surprise people.
Yeah,
and,
my theory is if they're talking low key, they're getting along, which is good news for me.
The other side, this is something that a lot of people are surprised at. On the other side, things tend to be quite a bit better. You know, there's that about a two-year acclimation period for a lot of these folks when they get over there.
Right.
And their personalities are pretty much intact for quite a while. You know, and they keep it. But the more extreme variations in the personalities tend to moderate from what I'm getting. And, you know, my understanding of this as I go along. And so they become much more low-key fit and very fair-minded. And they've been gone long enough that would be kind of the case here. The thing that's surprising is they're really low-key. I mean, compared to what I usually get, because I'm having to really work to bring this out.
My mother was the easygoing, get along with everybody, you know, type. And my dad was I'm more like my father, but I wanted to be more like my mother. That's that's the conundrum there, you know.
It's funny. You're still a mix of both. You know, I mean, I've got. You know, definitely the distinct personality attributes of my dad with the way I look and the way I carry myself and the kind of work I do is similar to his. But I'm very much more of the Scottish Highlander on my mom's side. My father always kind of complains. He goes, "You're just like your mother." Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You called it, dude.
Heard that
you got
a million times. Oh, my mom and dad's got that Scots-Irish, you know, and German, and you know what I'm saying? And boy, when that got going, it got going.
All I know is I just look at Dad when he does that, and I go, ding, 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 you win the prize. You finally figured this out after all these years. And then he gets really pissed off.
And then on my father's side, there was some Native Americans, but they distance themselves from it because of the discrimination. Actually,
yeah.
I'm not trying to brag here, but they were part of the Roebuck when that was a trading post, you know, Sears mm-hmm. Roebuck.
Yeah.
And so they got away from that because it was, or they got away from the Indian heritage because they were finding discrimination, you know. That was
okay.
On my father's side.
Well, let's see what we got here. Sears Roebuck Cabin. It's funny you'd say that because I've been looking for a tractor, and Sears in California and tractors right now are a bad subject. Anyway, let's see. It looks like we're ready to go, and I've got the first burst starting at 29 and about 3/4 seconds. So we'll just round it to 28 3/4. We'll round that to 29, and this is going to be. I'm just going to make one little adjustment on this, and we'll get going here. And this is a pretty strong burst. I have no idea what this is going to say, but we're going to go for it. So here we go. I'm going to put it on repeat. Here's the first one. He's saying sit down or something. Does that mean something to you?
Just sit down?
Yeah. Is that kind of like an old statement he would make or something like that? It's a male.
Yeah, I was always told sit down and you know. yeah.
That's kind of the impression I got. Sit down. I got something to say to you.
Yeah, mom didn't take no crap, you know.
Yeah, well,
she was raised. She was a farm girl, you know. She's, you know.
Well, I'm wondering if it's a man or a woman. I'm going to play that back again a couple of times.
Yeah.
I can't tell, so I'm just going to go with it is a man or a woman, but it's saying sit down. And if you think it's your mother, then if that's what she would say, then we'll just go with that. Let's take from 30 seconds to 33. There's a very strong phrase. She's very, now that I was able to bring it out, there's quite a bit of phrasing going on. So here we go. And,
okay.
Let's see what we got. Here it goes. Okay, I'm having difficulty, so what I'm going to do is break it in half so I can get it. There's just so much I can hear at one time. 30 to 31 and a half. Are you known for your partying?
Am I known for my what?
Partying ways? Like partying?
Partying?
Partying, you know, like...
partying
ways?
Oh, yeah.
Jay, this sounds like what a mother would say. She goes, don't you go partying. Don't you go partying. That's exactly what she's saying. Don't you go partying. So, it's like...
I'm in trouble.
Yep. You are, and we're going to continue on. 31 and a half to 33. We'll get the final part of what she's saying here. Boy, are they telling you? Best I can do with that, and it's the last word is lousy, and the first is sounds like something like run or something a word approaching run, it will sound like run. Don't you party? And I think what she's saying here is that when you party, you basically your life is lousy. You know, that would be a kind of a good guess that.
And I'm just running away from things. By
yeah,
body.
That's. Yep, and jeez. Did this just do what I didn't want it to do?
How long did that one take?
That was about 2 seconds. Now I'm going to have to export this. Occasionally, what happens is Audacity will do this to me, and so I'm going to have to save it and then bring it back in. So sorry about this, but the cursor messes up on this thing, so I just have to.
I'm patient.
Okay, here we go. Let's put this into. June 27th. Okay, and then I'm just going to go ahead, and this is for Steve, right?
Right.
Steve reading. Okay. And then I'll just reload it back in. I just have to go out of it. I've got to export it and then bring it back in, and so I'm just going to remember where I was at. I was at right about 33 seconds. And then we'll just bring it back in and get started. I lose control of the cursor, and it just won't let me select correctly. And so, but the program is so good, I'm not willing to overlook little things and come up with my fixes. Where is it? Where is what I need there? Here it is. So we're firing it back up. And let's see, we got, there it is. Okay, open. Okay, here it comes. Here it comes, Con. All right. Wow, that's different looking.
Can I ask one quick question? How do we, since I didn't say my last name, how do we know that that's my mother and father?
Basically, by
spirituality, they draw on, they're drawn.
The fact that you come in and Big Circle already is aware of what's going on, they know who you are right off the bat.
Okay, I got you. So it's like a spiritual powwow type. Gotcha.
Yeah,
right.
It's absolutely, there is no hiding from the other side, and what we've found is it just doesn't really matter where you're at. They know what's going on, and they're able to key in. Now, you know, Kathy popped in and gave me a pop-up that you were waiting for a reading.
Yeah.
And believe me, that you know, your parents already knew probably ahead of time, because there's no time on the other side the way we see it.
Exactly.
So they
already
go down, and it's like, okay, we'll be there. And they're real happy about this whole thing, the fact that, you know, you're making the effort and your free will, the free will that you show to want to talk to them, that really rings with them. And the other thing that I can just give you advice is talk to them a lot and pray for them. You know, actually get, you know, sit down and, you know, if you do evening prayers, or, you know, if you don't, you know, if you're not good at that, just get in the car and talk to them on the way to work. You know, and tell them how you feel about them and what's going on, and ask for their guidance. And they will pop in your dreams and stuff and help you. So, okay, here we go. 33 to 35 and a half. Here we go. Okay, I got it. Told you be kinder with them. I think that there was something that that they tried to instill in you that had to do with kindness. And there was some event that something was said by, you know, one of the two parents with regard to that in a life lesson to you as the child. So.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that's, you know, what that was, but that's what they're saying, you know. And I really had I had to play it a bit, because I wasn't sure if it was told you'd be kinder with me or them, and I settled on them.
Right.
So it seems to be about the family and your relations with family and friends. So.
Well, I was always taught to be kind and considerate of others and honest and everything. I'm not saying they were the greatest parents in the world, but. You know, they taught me right from wrong.
Yeah, well, I think that they're just going back to those old lessons for a reason, and I don't know quite what yet. But this is when we do this work, it's like it's like me taking a picture, and then when we go through all this, then I go back and I read the whole thing, and that gives you the actual frame and the picture, and we get to see what's really going on here, and then it can be interpreted. So let's keep going though. Let's go 35 and a half to 37. Here it is.
Both of them.
Okay, that was the part where you jumped in. So let me jump over to 37 to 39. Okay, that's a male. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm getting a name, or it's hard to read this one. It is a male. and it's a much deeper voice than the first one. So I'm believing that the first phrases were from your mother. Then this male comes in, and he says either this is the problem, or this is your problem. And I'm inclining to it's the first one. This is your problem. And so, I'm going to zoom in a little more here so I can see this a little easier. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to keep going with it, just see what he's got to say here. I'm going to take it to about 39 to, I think I'll take it a little further than that. Let's go 2 seconds. I can handle that. Let's go to about 40 and a half, 39 to 40 and a half. Here we go. Will you be nice to him? Will you be nice to him? I don't know who him is yet. 40.5 to 41.5. Okay, that's just a little too. I got to take it out a little further to get the full context. Let's take it out to 40.5 to 42.5. Helping you to please believe them. So it's belief, I think, was they're talking about some belief thing going on. Major, there's a major section here where it just jumps up really loud. So don't be surprised. Get another shot here. Here we go. 43 to 45. It's either go to the light or go tonight, and I'm leaning to go to the light, but let me get the last part of it to see if I'm correct in that. So here we go, 44 to 46 to catch the last end of that. Just not the easiest. I'm going to take it out the full length and just try to get the whole context. Okay, that is he, but was he, was he fairly spiritual or a believer in God?
He was like, I'm like him, not a churchgoer, but I believe in God. I believe there's a God. Yes.
Okay, this is not the first we've gotten this kind of thing, and this is really designed to give you faith. And he's saying, know that I'm with Jesus.
Really?
Yep. That's what that was all about. It was a very emphatic thing. And trying to break it up, I finally had to step back and pull it out a little bit. When they fight you like that, you realize there's a bigger message, and you just get the feel for it, So
You know what I kept hearing, John? I kept hearing, rise in front of me, or rise above me, like be better than him. Father wants their son to be better than him.
I think that could be part of it, too, because there are multiple... Now, see, I hear... the way I hear EVP is different than what you would hear.
Right,
and
exactly,
And when we get these things, they're almost like multiplex. There's more than one voice in these messages. So what I hear is going to be different than what you hear. If you're hearing that, great, because you're picking up on it, and it's definitely dedicated to you. Now, when I read it, though, there's other messages coming through, and that of course I'm delivering to you. But he is very emphatic here, that he is with Jesus. And he's just very clear about it, that I think what he's wanting you to know, he's A-okay. That's the number one thing that seems to come out of these sessions.
Well, let me creep you out here real quick. That first one where you said sitting down or sit down?
Yeah.
That's how I found him. He had committed suicide.
Oh boy!
He was sitting in his chair, and he had a bullet hole in his head.
Oh boy!
So that really, I couldn't catch it. I mean, if he were here today and we were arguing about something, he'd say, "Sit down. Let me tell you, boy. You know what I'm saying? Even though I'm 44." And he was 81 when he passed. So I thought about that sit down or sitting down, because I walked in the door. I walked up to the porch. I heard the TV going. Knocked on the door. He didn't answer, so I thought he might have dozed off. Like older folks do.
Yeah.
Walked in, turned to the left, and there he was, laying there with a hole in his head and blood all over the place.
That's just...
I had talked to him about that and told him I was really upset that I found him that way, but I didn't blame him that he did it because he had so many physical problems.
Yeah, that's... I think that there's a point where some spirits are just ready to leave. And, the thing I always feel bad about and I've heard these kind of cases before, it's just when the loved one finds them like that. That's just the roughest part,
And it's when he said he was with, know that I'm with Jesus.
Yeah.
When how bad a shape he was in, and looking at how much of a shadow of a man he used to be, I didn't believe that God would send him to hell for that.
No, I don't believe that.
Because he was in such horrible shape.
I sometimes think that that kind of thing is done.
Go grab your gun and blow your brains out to go to heaven. I'm not saying that to everybody out there that's depressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a special case where you have the body is in so bad a shape that...
Special case.
Yeah.
Plus the relationship my father had with God.
Yeah.
That's got a lot to do with it, too.
Well, he's a man of faith. That's the thing I'm seeing here, and he's still going on here. This is the part that's at 46 to 48 and a half. There's a whole other large phrase here, so he goes into some really pretty wild speaking from what I can see. So we'll keep going with this, but yeah, we're on the right track here.
My father was not one to remain silent on that. If he remained silent on something, it was because he wanted you to fall and bust your butt and say, "See, now do it my way." You know what I'm saying? To teach you a lesson.
I think you still that's for the summer.
And reverting back here to when you listen to my mother's, was there anything about the granddaughter there? I've got to know that.
Well, let's just keep going. We're partway through the development process, so
great.
He's got a lot more to say here. So.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. 46
he always
to 40.
Did.
Oh yeah, he's got something here. So let's see what we got here. Here we go. Did you ever call him Pappy?
No, just Dad.
Okay. And that's just because I'm trying to understand. Let me try again. I'm just going to make sure I get this right.
Okay.
Pray when you're happy. That's an interesting thing to say. Will you pray when you're happy? Mostly people pray when they're having trouble.
You don't pray unless you're desperate.
That's actually a very see, because I was saying that earlier about praying for him and praying about things. He is basically, it's not chiding you, but he's pointing out as a lesson to you to keep praying even when things are going well. So he's really he's showing himself to be a very very wise man.
In the back of my mind, and sometimes I'd say, well, King Saul, what do you think about this? I mean he was the wisest man I knew. You know what I mean.
Yeah,
I never went to anybody else for advice.
Well,
unless he told me to. Unless he said, I don't know much about that. Go ask so-and-so.
Well, let's see. We've got 48.5 to 50.5. He's got one thing to say, and there's a very strange waveform here, so I don't know what we're going to get.
Okay.
Let me see what I
can. Okay.
Here we go. Okay, next. Okay, that's why it's a strange waveform. It's me. Okay, here we go. The final part, 48.5 to 49.5, and then we'll go to your second question. Okay, he's saying, will you pray when... will you pray when you're happy? And then he's saying, I know you will at the end. So he's kind of throwing that at you, and it's...
he knows I will.
Okay, now I'm going to jump to the second question at one, and it ends at 142.5, and so it jumps into this major burst at 143 to 144. So I'm going to go ahead and play it.
I'll give you a little something that we touched on earlier. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. It's going to be very loud, everybody. Turn your volume down.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. I love you. I didn't even have to go.
He said it. He said it. It was hard for him to say when he was alive. He said it when he was alive, but it was hard for him to say.
Well, he said it right. I mean, that was not. I only had twice, and I knew exactly what he was saying.
That's great. My daughter called him Papa when you said when you asked me, did I ever call him Pappy? No, I didn't call him Pappy. I called him Dad. But my daughter said, "Hey, Papa."
Okay. Well, I think it was a Happy though. He's really teaching a lesson. That's the thing I got. You know, I just had to run a little noise reduction here. So, okay, let's keep going. We're gonna because we're gonna run out of time. I want to be sure we give you everything. So 144 to 145 and a half. Here we go. Is there a Kelly or
no.
somebody with a name like Kelly?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I'm hearing a Kelly. Let me try it again. Tell him to find you. That's what that is.
You know what it sounded like to me, John? It sounded like to me the child adores you.
Tell him to find you. Or child adores you.
That's what it sounded like. It sounded like the child adores you. The child adores you. Like my daughter misses me. I live in Texas. She lives in Arkansas.
Okay, let me try that again just to make sure.
Okay.
Okay, this is getting clearer. Tell him we found you. Tell him we found you.
Tell who?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll tell him we found you. I think that he's talking about somebody on the other side, another male who's passed.
Oh, that could be. I've got lots of relatives over there.
Is there one that was in particular that, other than your father, that you were close to?
Just about all my uncles on my mother's side.
Okay, well,
which were two, Uncle Clyde and Uncle Junior.
Okay, let's see if we can. We'll see if any names pop out here because he may be ready to get names. So. Let's go 145 to 147.5. Here we go. You're going to see us.
Oh.
Meaning that if I read that right, he's going to try to make an appearance to you in the home, or some of them will make an appearance to you in the home.
You know who I was also thinking about instead of my, not only my Uncle Clyde, because they were most recent, my Grandpa Sid.
Okay, let's just see if we get.
He told my mother how much he hated to die from cancer because he wanted to stick around and see me grow up.
Well, I think that's what this was about. Is that they're going to you know just saying that they're telling. That's the thing I get, and my instincts are just really screaming at me, saying it's. They just want to let the rest of the family know that they found you and are talking to you. So this is like a big deal. 147.5 to 149.5. Let's see what we got. They're just going on and on. This is pretty. Here we go. Do you have a sister?
Yes. Should I give you more information?
No. You don't have to give me. As a matter of fact, I'd strongly encourage, don't give me names and stuff, because when I pull them out, that way you're not. It's if when I pull them out and you know I've never met you, then it gives my word more relevance.
Yeah,
okay?
you get more validity that way. Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
You're doing great.
Well, thank you.
Let me put that out there.
Is your sister, would you characterize your sister as being asleep at this very moment?
Asleep?
Yeah.
Eternally. Or with them.
Oh, she's passed too?
Just recently. I found her after 32 years.
Oh, boy.
My father and her had a falling out in 77. That was the last time I spoke with her, and I just found her. What year did I find her, Kira? 08?
Nine.
I found her in 09, and she died October of 09. So I only got to talk to her for just a few months on the phone. We were planning on meeting in person, and she was my half-sister.
Well, it says here, I'll wake your sister. I was thinking that she was alive, but I get the feeling that with her just freshly passed like this, then that she's sort of in a kind of in a sleeping state or something. But can be, you know, he's making, you know, making it known to you that he's aware of her, is what, you know, what's going on there. She's, you know, like I said before, when they're gone for a couple of years,
right.
You know, it takes them a while most of the time to kind of come to terms with, you know, their new bodies and their new existence. And I'm just surprised at that. That's actually, you know, but let me replay it one more time just so I'm absolutely sure.
Okay.
It could be I'm with your sister, and I'm kind of leaning to that.
I bet so.
So I was leaning to the wake. There's one other quality I'm going to talk about EVP, and I've mentioned this before, but I want to just reiterate this point. When you do EVPs, there's like I've talked about the photographic quality of EVP, and when you develop film, you know, if the old-fashioned, you know, Kodak film and Fuji film and all that stuff.
Right.
So the light, it takes a certain amount of light, and then and when you develop it, it takes a while for the picture to come out. And what I found with EVP is that there seems to be something to that same kind of quality to EVP. And the older the EVP gets up to a certain point, it fixes itself. And what I mean by that is it actually keeps developing. And so when we hear a fresh EVP and then we go back later on and we listen to it again a few weeks later, more messages will be there, and the words will have changed enough that the true meaning will come out. So when we're doing this on air, we're really getting it right off the press, and I'm really speeding the process along. But and this is why I send these EVPs to people, you know, so that they can have a copy, listen to it themselves.
Yeah, so there's like layers to it.
Oh yeah, very much.
Or like you say, you can look at or say a fully developed picture. You can look at a picture and a thousand times and find something different. That you didn't see 5 years ago. You know.
Exactly right. And so what I'm saying is that I'm giving you the Reader's Digest version of what they're saying, but there's much more richness in that EVP that will be there. And I can come back, you know, at a later date, and, you know, you could just, you know, send me a mail and say, hey, would you like to reread this with you? And I will do that, you know, because I can listen to it differently. And we can look back at the old notes, because I keep all my notes.
Yeah.
So, but let's keep going. We, you know, we got a bit more to go. We got 149 to 151.
Oh, really? More? Oh.
Yeah, we're at the end here. Here we go.
I see Rahul.
he's asking you a question now.
And really?
I think it had to do with the suicide. I guess this might be the way he would talk to you, but he's asking me to pass this on. He's saying, is he raw with me? Is he raw with me? He wants to know how you're doing with him.
Oh, at first, like I said before, at first I was very angry that I was the one that found him that way. I would have rather have had, you know, some authority or something find him. I didn't want to see him like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that totally, you know,
that.
I say, that ruined the image of my father, you know. You see what I'm saying? That hurt.
Yeah.
That hurt deeply. And I was mad about that for quite a while, but I forgave him. He's forgiven for it.
Well, I think that's going to help him. And I think that when you go to bed tonight, before you go to bed, pray for him and communicate that to him, you know, really from your heart, and just, you know, just play it back. And it'll be healing to you and to him. So I just, but he really, that was pretty clear to me. I really wanted to listen to it clearly and make sure I had it right.
Yeah, he's forgiven for that, and also also for leaving me the way he did, because I knew he was in such pain. I let his ashes go in the Pacific, which I thought he would like. I hope that made him happy.
Well, I think so. We'll just keep going here. He's got a lot more to say. This guy's a talker, man. That's a lot. I thought I didn't have anything, but man,
I was hoping my mom would talk to me. She's been gone 20 years.
Well, let's just see what we got here. We'll work on here next week.
Okay.
Here this day. Here we go. 151 to 152.5. Is there an Albert?
Well, Uncle Albert on my mother's side, he's been dead quite some time, and I was very, very young when he passed away and really didn't get to know him.
Well, it says here Albert's there to see him.
Really?
Yeah, Albert's there to see him. And I think he's talking about, you know, everybody that's alive at this point. So, you know, that's just I had a feeling we'd get some name confirmations. They just want that to, that's their way of letting you know that it is them, you know.
But the whole family's there.
Yep.
Nobody went anywhere. They're all there waiting on me.
Oh, yeah, they're hanging out. And let's see. Let's keep going. I
hope they're not expecting me too soon.
No, not too soon. You've got a long ways to go.
Okay. Whew, that's a relief.
152.5 to 154.5. Here we go. Is there a Dave?
Cousin, yeah.
Is he passed or is he?
No, live.
It says Dave, come with me, and I'm not sure if it's Dave, but let me just keep going here. Let me try it. They go with her. That's what this is saying. may go with her.
Hmm.
Go with her.
They go with her.
Yeah.
Not Dave.
No, it's not Dave. The more I listen to it, the more
they
I change.
They go with her.
Yeah. Okay, 154.5 to 156. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, this is telling you to don't worry about this, but it's basically don't worry about what's happening with you. You know, it's this is in response to your question that you had about your health and all that. It's saying do away with the hurt. Do away with the hurt.
So that sounds something more psychological than physical.
Yeah, I think there's they're asking you basically to get over some things. So if you need therapy and the things like that, don't be afraid to use it. I've used therapy myself for my own troubles in life, and we all have them. And it's absolutely, it's actually a sign of strength to be able to ask for help. So if
yeah,
you need
there's
that,
not a, there's not a person on the planet that doesn't have a problem.
Yep. And, sometimes just talking it out will is the best healing there is. So, it weren't me. I won't go into what it is that's going on with you because I don't know, but I'll just say this. They're very wise to tell you that. Do away with the hurt. Just get it taken care of.
Well, you have no idea what kind of a therapy session this has really been for me. I mean,
I'm glad to help.
This has been fantastic. I mean, oh, my God.
I'll tell you what. They're not done yet, so let's keep going because I'm gonna run out of time. So we're gonna make sure we get you everything you can get. Okay. So here we go. 56 to 156.5. Okay, it sounds like Joey or something or for me. Do away with hurt for me. That's it. Do away with hurt for me, because they're speaking from what they want to see for you. 156.5 to 158.5. Here we go. Speed run. Okay. Now, realize this, you have a lot of support from the other side. They're saying, help me to help you. So this is, probably your father is stepping in to let you know he's there with you. So he will be there with you when you go through all these things. So yeah, absolutely is at your side. 158.5 to 2 minutes, 5 seconds, or 2 minutes and a minute, 2 minutes and a half. It's 2 minutes. Let's just see that. Here we go.
Okay. All right.
Okay, he's reiterating the fact, he says, tell him he can talk to me anytime. So he's absolutely being sure. And at the very end here, this is the final one, 2 minutes and 1.5 seconds to 2 minutes and 2 seconds. And here we go. Okay, the one that's been speaking to you about all these things is your mother. She says, this is your mom.
Oh.
Yeah, your mom's been speaking to you on this last part of it. So, absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to read it back real quick. We're at 6 minutes out. So, first question, and then we'll just run right through. The first voice was, sit down. Don't you party. It basically makes you feel and run lousy. told you to be kinder with them, and so they're talking about your kindness to the family. This is your problem. Will you be nice to him? And then it says, will you please believe them? Now, I don't know what that's about, but you're going to have some time to think about that. Then there was the interruption, and then it jumped to the male voice, which is your dad. Know that I'm with Jesus. Will your something be happy? I can't. Oh, will you pray even when you're happy? I know you will. Then he says, I love you. Then he says, I tell him, I'll tell him I found you, which is, one of these other male contemporaries of yours. And then he says an intriguing thing. He says, you're going to see us. Then it jumps over and says, I'm with your sister. And then he says, then he asks you a question. Is it raw with you about me? And to which you answered. And then Albert's popping in, saying Albert's there to see him. So it's basically Albert just stepping forward to say that he's there, and wanting to make his presence known. And then they're saying they go with her. And I think what this means is, in regard to your sister, that your whole family is hanging around your sister and helping her transition through. She's on the other side. Then they turn to you, and I think this is your mother saying, do away with the hurt for me. Help me to help you. So your mom is there, and so is your dad, too. Tell him he can talk to me. And then she identifies herself at the end. She says, this is your mom. And this is the whole reading. Yeah. So it's, they're not all that worried about you having, quote, the same disease. They would have brought that up, and I really believe that. They would have brought that up if it had been a physical disease. So they're worried about your mental state, and they're just worried that that you need to get the counseling, which I know you're going to do. So, but this is also helping you a lot. And I really, strongly urge you, download this show so you've got it and you can play it back.
It is. It's being archived. Believe me.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a real big deal. And then, make a point. I'll make a point to remember for Thursday to grab you first. So, be there and be square on Thursday night at 9:30.
Thursday, we're going to do an EVP session again?
Yeah, we'll do another follow-up session just so that we get you, because you really need this. And they got a lot to say, so we will take care of that.
Okay, and I'm sorry. Thanks for spending so much time on me, and I'm sorry to all the people that are out there listening. I know you want to get in and talk UFOs and stuff, and can't wait to talk UFOs with you myself. And I really appreciate what you've done there.
Oh, no problem.
Absolutely. Was great. And the strangest thing was. Like I say, the bond between my father and I was not that close, and I hear from him more than I did from my mother, and that was strange. but I guess that that'll change on the next one maybe.
Steve, I'm just blown away. So it really was a pleasure meeting with you tonight and doing the soul stream.
Yeah.
So
I'll tell you. If they are there with my sister, I don't think there's anything to worry about. She was a devout Catholic, so she's probably, she might be directing them. Who knows?
Well, I think so. I mean, we may hear from her that night, so just be ready for anything. And I've got 1 minute remaining, so I'm going to just go ahead and stay on the line with me, and I'll just read
off
here. We got Blue Goose out there. We got Castle. We have Kathy's Distant Echoes, Disgruntled Dan. We got Dominica Amore, Elizabeth Rose, Gerber Daisy, Giraffe was with us, Karen's Dream, and Kira and Steve, Steve is here on the air with me. And we have Paranormal51.com. Way to go, guys. Good to see you. So with that, we got 42 seconds remaining, and this is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio. We'll be seeing you guys later in the week. I'm not sure if I'll be on the panel show on Wednesday or not, but you'll definitely see me Thursday. This is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio. We're going to go ahead and sign off, and God bless everybody, and thank you for being here this Sunday night. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Doug.
Oops. There we go.
John, you still there?
Yeah, no, just...
Okay.
are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, live on blogtalkradio.com.
So we're off the mainstream, but hey, yeah, and okay. We're still archived. But hey, that was something else, huh?
That blew me away.
Every time I do this, I still from even since when this all started back on December 31st of last year is when this all started in this little studio I'm in, and it started with this little crazy radio going nuts on me and starting to give me these communications, and it's just gone nuts. And I'll tell you, every show I just find it more miraculous. So I'm just glad this really helped you. It really is, a big thing. I mean, what happened?
Okay, well, when Kira first told me about this, I did have a question. Is it anything closely related to a Frank's box? I know you've heard of one.
That's what I used tonight with you.
Really?
Yep.
That was a Frank's box, really?
Yeah, but I ran it in a non-standard mode. What I did is I just ran it. I instead of having it scan frequencies, I have found that just tuning to an unused frequency with this particular little $30 Radio Shack radio I have does a really great job. And I've developed a technique with the filtering technology I have here,
right,
to be able to pull these voices out, and they are meaningful, and good things come out. So
just modified it a little bit and experimented with it and got what you got now, right?
That's right. And it's
cool.
Yeah, but we do occasionally do where we go frequency changing, where the Frank's radio will jump frequencies,
uh-huh.
And I'll try that. Nights, we'll mix it up a little bit and try some different things. And I'm building what are called raw dive diodes, which are a non-microphone way of getting EVP, in which spirits can affect the diode directly. And
right.
Evidently, and it's a very old technique. I've never tried it, so we're going to give it a shot.
I understand some of the stuff, but some of it gets really, really technical. And
yeah.
I'm interested in this, and Kira and I keep talking about, when are we going to grab the cameras and go to the cemetery or go to a building, this really fascinated me, though. I knew it would be a matter of time before somebody came up with a device that we could communicate with the other side. And I know it's only going to be a matter of time where we come up. I mean, we have cameras, which are not 100%, but I think somebody's going to come up with a device where anytime you want to summon a spirit, you'll be able, this device will, allow you to see the spirit in full,
Oh, I agree. I mean, I've got, I'm holding in my hands right now, I just bought it, it's a full spectrum camera. It's a Monotronix T700, and it has a 2 gigabyte SD card in it, and it's just, and you hear it kicking on here, and it just is a wonderful device. It can see into the infrared spectrum, and it can also see way into the ultraviolet. And so far, I took it out the other day, and I was surprised because I was looking to see if I could see an area where I know I have spirits hanging around.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, all I got was an EVP. but the bottom line is, you're exactly right. The technologies are improving. We're getting better with this stuff, and now there are these boutique shops that are doing electrical modifications to bring standard consumer electronic grade devices.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the future, you're channel surfing and nothing's on, and you're gonna hey, let's switch over to you know, the other side station, and let's talk to Grandma, see how she's doing, you know? The technology, the technology explodes it explodes exponentially at such a fast rate. Well, every 18 months we have like 10 years of technology. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean it's expanding at an accelerated rate, and it's far beyond our ability to comprehend what's happening. The tools are actually reshaping us, and but you know, when you get into the spirit world, and now that it's tying into that, it's a whole new realm, and I just predict the next 20 years is going to be very exciting.
And what really gets me mad is mainstream science laughs at it.
They are not laughing as much because the Central Intelligence Agency went out and was funding remote viewers, which they said they ended the program, which I don't believe.
The MJ-12 project, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that it's a very clear to all the powers that be out there that these things are real, and so they poke fun at it because they want it all themselves. But unfortunately, the other side doesn't see it that way. They come from a more value-centric place in a lot of ways.
Right.
So it's definitely, I really think that families are going to be taking advantage of this more and more as, talking like you're talking about. Let's see how Grandma's doing. Let's talk and get, and it's funny because my first exposure to people who actually considered that they worked with the dead every day were the Hawaiian culture. I met up with a Hawaiian gentleman down in Southern California who we got talking. He started telling me about this stuff, and this was long before I got serious into the paranormal. But I never forgot the lesson because he said, you don't understand, the elders do come through. And I've been psychic, in a psychic medium my whole life, so it didn't shock me. But what I was, I was looking at it was I was going, wow, so you actually make them part of everyday life. Oh, yeah, they watch the kids. They're part there for the celebrations. They come in to pass judgment and say, you're screwing up, and they'll tell you why. They're very highly developed skills. A lot of people, make fun of cultures that talk that way, in the Mexican, cultures, in South American and that kind of thing.
Aborigines in Australia.
They have a lot of the same reverence for the dead and being part of their day-to-day life. And it varies from the culture to culture, but bottom line is, this is coming to America. And, with the technology bent we have, it's just going to open that door, and then we're going to have to, adapt. Some people accept it. A lot of them won't. But bottom line, the technology will be there, and people are going to begin taking advantage of it. It should be see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, and it may not be some scientist in a laboratory. It may be a guy in his garage or basement that does it,
Well, it's already going at such a fast pace. I mean, I just ordered this Monitronics device, which is just a very wonderful camera, well built. $250 is all it was, So I have just a huge array of other equipment and. But I find that the simple pocket gear, the things like this camera that I just got, that you can pull out and use, and you can carry it all in one little bag, and if you just go out lightweight, you can do some great investigation work with just a little bit of gear. In your case, if you were to get started, I would be careful about going into graveyards without some experienced people with you to kind of show you the ropes.
Right.
If you do decide to do that, though, go out in the daytime. That way it's a safety factor. We're big on safety with my team, and so we are into that. Go out in the daytime because there's no reason, spirits don't care if it's dark day or night. They just
really.
So they're gonna be there. Sure, it's exciting and fun at night to go out, and it's a special treat, and we do that on occasion. Wow, it's night. Look at what we're doing. Most of our investigations are daytime, and they turn out we just get great evidence. And we've had apparitions in full daylight. I've had apparitions inside buildings with full light on. Walked right into May of 2009. I walked right face to face with one. I turned a corner and there I was face to face with an entity.
Oh my God! Really? That close?
Yeah, I was bending down. I came around the corner and I had a K2 in my hand, and I bent down to take a floor reading of a AC line that I suspected was there.
Uh-huh.
And I looked up and I'm face to face with a 3.5 foot gray mist that's looking at me, and it was in the shape of a what looked like a small boy, and it just jumped backwards and I jumped backwards and about killed me. So I'm getting back, you know. And it wasn't that I was afraid of it, because I've been around ghosts my whole life, but it's like, you know, you're just not expecting that, you know. It's just there in your face, you know, and you just, whoa, you know. And the EVPs we got afterwards, it was laughing at us. It thought it was funny. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, they have it. And, yeah, and I think, but I think with your family there, you know, this particular meeting, the way it went with the soul stream is, you know, they really want to comfort you, you know, and they're for you.
I'll say Thursday we're going to do EVP, right?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and just what I'd like you to do is sit down,
okay,
and write down a set of, listen to what you got tonight, then
right,
sit down and compose two or three questions, you know, so that you can read them off.
Okay.
And then and that'll give me, and if you keep them short and succinct, what that'll do is it'll give me more time to give you more of what they're saying. So what I'll be able to do is stretch that out a little bit. And then we can go through two or three more questions and, you know, really kind of settle in on what you want to know. So really give this thing the you know, some thought process before that date, and then we'll bring you on and do it again. And because I know you need it. Yeah, there's more to the story than just what we got today.
Yeah, this was just scratching the surface. Okay, and UFOs, what day are we going to do that?
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about, I'll stretch the show out a little bit that day, and we'll talk a little UFOs too.
Okay, and let me ask you this, what about a day, where there's no EVPs, but we just talk about, our experiences?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll set up a special UFO show and you can watch, I'll do that tonight while I'm thinking about it. I'll find a date that I've not got anything else going on. We'll just do a UFO spectacular.
Well, not UFOs. I'm talking spirits.
Oh, you're talking, just talking about spirits, just in general?
Yeah, I had one crawling to bed with me.
All right, I'll tell you what, why don't we do a general purpose show? We'll talk, we'll dedicate 1 hour to UFOs, 1 hour to spirits. That way we can get both things taken care of. And I'm up for that. That'd be cool.
You're into the paranormal, so you would believe, and you've had a spiritual encounter, right, with an entity.
Dude, I've had more stuff than you. I have had spirits crawl into bed with me. I've been grabbed.
Yeah. It's weird, ain't it?
That I've been told, called every name in the book, you know, and I just go, is that the best you can do? You could call me that dumb name. I mean, no, it's, you know, I've seen a lot of stuff. You know, the only thing I haven't seen yet is probably, you know, the ghost whisper, you know, full color apparition. They usually are more sleepy than. So
yeah,
I haven't had.
I've got to hear some of those stories.
Yeah, we could talk. I could talk quite a bit about that. As a matter of fact, I mean, July 11th is coming up. Is my birthday, and we're going to have just a general all-purpose show there. I was going to talk about some of the things, experiences I've had that brought me to where I'm at. So that would actually be a good one for that.
Oh, so you're going to give like a history of how you got into it and all that?
I'm going to talk about it from the very beginning, from the very
okay.
first paranormal experiences, and just have a few friends on, and we're just going to go on, and you can, you know, be sure to call in so we can hear some of your stories and stuff.
Okay, that's gonna be good. Yeah, you know, because it's always interesting, you know, to hear somebody's first experience to what got them interested, and then how they went from there, you know.
Well,
because some people see something and I don't believe it. You know what? And I don't even want to talk about it and all this other crap. You know, and it's like, what? You say it came face to face with it, and you refuse to believe it.
Well, my father doesn't believe any of this stuff, but he's. I swear to God, I know that he had some. A very dangerous experience that happened to him, or not dangerous, but just what he thought was dangerous. And to me, you know, it would be tame, but he used to do autopsy work when he was in the...
Oh, no.
worked at DeWitt Mental Hospital, and he would do autopsy work of people that were in accidents and insane people who died and things like that. And he is so adamant about his disbelief in these things. My mother and I have always suspected that he saw something that really spooked him.
Because he was trained scientifically.
Oh, yeah. And my grandfather, you know, being a prominent neurosurgeon and, you know, did brain research and all kinds of things. It was that side was all the rationalists. Now, my mother's side were all the mediums and
yeah.
all the spooky, earthy touch people who would see spooks. And it was totally normal to talk about ghosts in the house and talk about.
Really?
Yes. Talk about that was like totally accepted. So I had the benefit of growing up in a house where that was totally cool. You know,
yeah.
could talk about it, but he would look at you funny. It was like, oh, yeah, just don't talk about it outside. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I ran around my whole life, you know, with people who had even more abilities than I have, you know, which, and,
yeah.
And it's like, wow, you know, I learned so much just by watching them, you know, and the thing is, though, yeah, you can develop, you know, you're not born with a sign that says, this is how far you go, you stop. You know, so development, you know, I'm actually working very hard on my mediumship skills right now. So that's, even at 51 years old, I'm still, you know, learning. And, you know, you just keep going. And, you know, that's part of why I do these shows, because part of what I do when I do the EVP with you is I'm actually doing medium work. And I'm filling in the blanks with what, you know, between what they're showing me in the EVP with what they've got. There will be a point at which I'll be able to do this without EVP, but the nice part about this work, though, with EVP is you get a copy of it. You can actually hear the voices. You can hear the I love yous like you got tonight. You know, you get to hear them, you know, which really lends weight to what I'm saying. And I'm, you know, and not only that, I just get a charge out of doing this. It's the greatest thing in the world. So,
yeah.
You know, you know, it was great.
And I'm sorry I took up your whole show. I mean, I know how people wanted to talk about UFOs and everything.
Actually, you didn't take up the whole show. The whole show is about EVP. We just got onto UFOs a little bit because of Dominica. And,
yeah.
But there's no problem with that. I'm lucky if I get two readings in on a show. You know, and I really spend the time though with people. I'm kind of gravitating in on one reading per show because. It really, the kind of people coming in are really needing that, and it really seems to work well. So, you know, no, it wasn't a problem at all. You know,
well, I really have to thank you for the time that you spent with me tonight, and I really appreciate that. Some people can listen to an EVP and hear one thing, and some people listen to it and hear something else, you know.
Yeah, and absolutely.
It'll come out. Something else will come out later on if you listen to it again. You know.
And I think that probably what we want to do is have you email me through Blog Talk. You'll be able to get your email address to me through the Blog Talk. You can send a message to me, and then we'll go back and forth and set up a private time because I think that there's a little something to do there too because I'd like to review this. The CVP with you, you know, privately and just see what did come out of that. So, you know, there's a little bit of work to do here, but, yeah, I'm willing to sit with you on this because it's important. You know, there's, you know, it's affecting your life in a major way. So.
Yeah, you know, and I've got strange stuff going on here. I'm pretty sure I got, like, Kira was in the hospital. I'm pretty sure I had a very petite, Indian woman crawl in bed with me. I mean, a Native American, you know.
Well,
and
tell
I
you
mean,
what.
Huh?
Let's take that one for the coming Thursday and see who she is and find out why she's there.
You know, when that happened, my feet hit the ground, and I guarantee you, within 3 seconds, I had every light in the house on, and I. And I didn't go to sleep the rest of the night. Let me tell you that much.
Well, you got a girlfriend. Hell, I mean, I'm still single. I would have looked at it and went, wow, really? Cool. You're here with me? Would you like something to drink?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, honestly, the impression I'm getting right off the bat with her, and I'll just do a mini session here. she actually knows you from prior. And I don't know if that's like a past life or you were in this life you knew an Indian girl who's passed or something, but she seems to know you. So that the comfort level with her being with you is was that's where that was at. It was not any, there was nothing to scare you. It was absolutely a kind of a loving act, if you will. So
yeah, I never get any evil impression. I never get that feeling that she's out to harm me. But when I'm alone in the house, two people have died in the house that we know of: Kira's mother and my father.
Yeah. Well.
And this property, I'm on 9 acres, and I know Indians lived here in the past. So.
Well, I tend to think that what you've got is, I think this is a connection to you. And it could be, the third explanation is she's seen you, is comfortable with you, and is still, if she is still wandering the property, then the other thing would be that she's just comfortable enough with you that she just wants to find a, somebody to hang with that she's comfortable with.
Right.
And, kind of go back to what she had in some form of her old life. But let's just see what name we get, because I get a feeling she's going to talk to us if we ask her to come in.
Really? You think so?
Hey, it's worth a shot. I mean, the fact she's coming into bed with you kind of tells you she wants to talk to you about something. So
that would be very interesting.
Well, let's see. We'll pop that in as one of the questions and see if she's willing to come through.
I'm so fascinated by all this, and like I say, when we do that UFO show, I've got a couple experiences there, and I want to talk about it. And I'm sure you know about the Aurora Project and other things.
Yeah, very much so.
And chemtrails and such so forth.
Seen them here. They're going on right now.
Looks like they're playing tic-tac-toe in the sky, I want to know what's going on, this is crazy.
It's the stated goal of the United States Air Force to own the weather by 2025, and if you can hide troop movements by putting up a screen, in the sky with some sort of a shield so that satellites can't see through, you've got yourself one handy little tool.
I think it's a little more malevolent than that. I think it might be something to affect us.
Well, I think it's a side effect of it is that, and I think that, there's definitely that to talk about. But,
if they're spraying us and saying, hey, we think, through our channels, we think that the Al-Qaeda may make a major anthrax attack, and we're vaccinating everybody by spraying, so don't be alarmed. Tell us. Don't just put that stuff up there in the sky and let us wonder what it is. Because I know the difference between a vapor trail and a chemtrail. I'm not a pilot, but, vapor trails are really, really high, and they dissipate fairly quickly. And these chemtrails, they hang, and they're very, very low. And they stay with you for a while, I want to know what my government said. I'm into quite a bit of it, but the paranormal is really, I want to know when you see something, you want an answer. When you have something crawling into bed with you, you want to know what the hell it was. It wasn't a cat. The cat was in the living room on the couch.
We'll find that out. We'll find that out Thursday. I'll tell you what. I'll get off and we'll go ahead and schedule up a UFO show. I'll find a date and then just put it out there, so you'll see it out there on our regular page. And we'll get you fixed up.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go to your website. Yeah, John. Great meeting you. Thanks for all the work. I know it was. Wasn't easy, but thanks for going through that, and I'm sorry I took up your whole show and all that, and man, it was fantastic. I had a blast.
All right. Well, thank you.
And I also feel much better. So I really do appreciate it.
Okay. God bless you, my friend.
Okay. So God bless you too, brother.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Take care.
You too.
Okay. And with that, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to go ahead and sign off archive. And what a night. And, you know, I'm just, things always have a way of working out with this show. And I still am amazed at the things we have happen here. So anyway, I'll play a little bit of short closing music, and then we'll just go ahead and call it a night. See you guys on Wednesday or Thursday. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to sign off. Good night, everybody.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.